It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon. And welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this January 7th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios. Our first show of 2023 on this spectacular January 7th. I'm Mike Rickard alongside baseball Ben Botham, my number one draft pick from Savannah State. And, of course, we are broadcasting live from RadioSt.Pete.com and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. As usual, we got a variety of topics from the peewees to the preps to the pros. You got us a couple peewees, Coach. I appreciate that. And always bringing you a positive perspective. Interesting day today. We'll be talking to Tom Gribben, St. Pete's most interesting man. He's actually going to be playing a little music tonight at Katiki in the neighborhood. And it'd be nice if you could make a cameo appearance, youngster.
Yeah, I might swing on by there, Mike.
You're bringing the medium age from 70 down to about 45. How about that? So we need a youth.
The
movement.
One outlier.
Yeah, so we'll be talking to Tom briefly. And then, of course, it's Eckerd baseball. It's Triton time. Coach Bo and Joe Muzio. And who do we have here? Who are these bodyguards you brought?
Colton.
Hey, fellas. Welcome to Ferg's. You ever been to Ferg's?
Couple times.
Okay, good. Before a ball game, probably. Anyway, so we'll talk a little Triton. And then we're going to talk to a gentleman that's been on before, Mark Lindsay. He's an Englishman. And he was with the original Tampa Bay Rowdies, but we just lost Pele, you know, obviously a worldwide name, even though you're a baseball guy, in the world of soccer. And he met Pele in his youth. And had several conversations with him. So we'll talk a little bit about Pele and Mark Lindsay, and he'll give us his perspective and analysis of the 2022 World Cup, and of course Argentina, the winners there. And then this is kind of near and dear to my heart, Dolph Pulliam. You'll like this story. He is from Chicago now, but back in the day, Drake University, went to the Final Four, played against, none of you guys were born, played against Lou Alcindor, actually was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in most circles these days, and he's got a great story. He is a documentary producer, and he did the Johnny Bright story. I'd like you to pull that up before we talk to him in the second hour. And then finally, you and Ray Kennedy will do our roundtable. We'll talk college national championship taking place on Monday as the Georgia Bulldogs take on my now TCU Horned Frogs.
You're claiming them, Mike?
The quarterback's from Iowa, baby.
Hey, fair enough.
90
I'll let
miles
you take
from where I grew up.
Those and psychedelic toads are coming for him.
He's the real deal, that kid.
Oh, yeah. I like him. I think
it's a blue-collar town. It's just like my town, Sewer City, right on the Missouri. Bunch of us river rats, and it's interesting. But he's a tough kid. His dad was his coach, and this is a great story. So we'll kick that around. We had a meeting over here on the Bucks. I'm sorry, on the Rays, and we'll talk about that location, the decisions. Mark and I had a meeting talking about our planning here, and so we got a lot of interesting things. And then, of course, Ray Kennedy is going to talk about the Bucks. They're obviously in the playoffs. They play in Atlanta tomorrow. I wouldn't play too many of the guys for very long. We'll see what happens there. So we'll talk about all of that. But why don't we talk about the NFL lineup real quick in the Fergs from the front row, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery. And I tell you what, we got some great things in 2023. Charlie Break Iron, the GM partner. We were over there the other day. Bruce Eichner, myself, Bruce Law, and Marty, and we had a great time. We got some exciting news. We're putting together. We'll just say that. We'll throw a teaser out there where we'll be expanding our radio network for certain. Right now, we're at 8 stations, and in 2023, I see expansion throughout the state of Florida. Looking forward to that as well. So, brought to you by them, and let's go over the NFL lineup tomorrow, starting today. I always forget, this time of year, you got NFL on Saturdays.
I always do love a little football on Saturdays. I won't complain there. More football is always good football, but we start with the Chiefs or Raiders, and the Raiders, of course, have been a little disappointing, I would say. Most people would say We were expecting them to be a lot better this year.
Talk about disrespecting your quarterback, sending Carr to the pine. I mean, he's done.
Pretty tough. So expecting a huge victory there. Jags versus Titans. That should be a really great game. Titans win. They go on. Jags win. Jags go on. And
I'm on the Jaguar bandwagon.
I am
not because I live in Florida. I just think that they got disrespected. And now you know they've got the right coach. They've got incredible youth. And
Trevor Lawrence is showing that he's the real deal.
And he didn't get any respect, but he didn't anybody around him last year.
Mm-hmm. And here's a little cool factoid here that the Titans. Their rookie punter, the Titans, their rookie punter, Ryan Stonehouse, great name, by the way, is on the verge of breaking an 82-year-old record for that was held by Sammy Baugh for single season punt average.
Wait a minute. Not that I was born then. Slinging Sammy Baugh to you. That was his nickname.
That was his nickname. I like that.
Slinging Sammy
Baugh,
baby.
I don't know if that's as good as Ryan Stonehouse. That's a good name.
Stonehouse, okay.
But he's fair enough. But he's on the verge of breaking the single season punt average record, which right now he's sitting at 53.02 yards, and he has to average at least 33.75 this game in order to break the record.
Now here's a little factoid. I am older than dirt, but slinging Sammy Baugh. He was the quarterback, punter, kicker, and they drop kicked back in the day for field goals and extra points. That's old.
That's pretty good. I always do like seeing a drop punter drop kick. Excuse me. That's pretty neat whenever you see one of those. Then we have Browns versus Steelers. Kenny Pickett's the real deal, Mike.
Small hands, Kenny Pickett. There's such a concern about the size of his hands back in the day. And I tell you, back during the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I like that kid. He's got moxie. Yeah.
Steelers got a good chance of winning that game. Bengals-Ravens. I do think the Bengals are going to win, but it does bring up interesting playoff potential for the wild card, considering the cancellation of the Bills-Bengals game. So it could be decided by a coin toss.
That's a tough debate, you know, and everybody doing an analysis from the outside. Everybody's got perspective. It is a game, but it's a sensitive topic. It's kind of like talking about right now, seriously, talking about race or politics. Everything's so sensitive, and this is extremely sensitive. But the powers to be have to make a decision, and I don't know how I feel about it. Neutral site. Tampa.
Hey, bring them here. I'm okay
with
that.
Bring them here, baby. I think that'd be great.
And the next game is Vikings-Bears. The Bears are in full tank mode, of course. You know, they're just trying to get a good draft pick.
I don't care. I'm a Packer fan.
Yeah.
I don't care if everybody can tank in that Central. All day long.
And then we have Patriots versus Bills. Bills need to win this for the Dolphins to be able to move on to the playoffs. So
your dad is a diehard Dolphin.
So
are you a Finn fan, too?
Not really. There's more pictures of Dan Marino in our house than of family members. So
yeah.
I will say I am rooting for, you know, a Bills win there.
He's not kidding. You guys are smiling. He's not kidding.
It's real deal. Dan Marino is the idol of the household.
Check this out, fellas.
Here we got
in downtown St. Pete do we get to see it all. Now that is cool.
A little dog carriage there. That's
yeah, describe
neat.
That, Ben. I wouldn't do it any justice. Hell, it's got a cooler. They got a cooler. They got a few
it's a cooler on a mobile scooter with dogs in the front. I've never seen such a thing.
Bravo.
Next, we have the Jets versus Dolphins. Of course, this is a much win for the Dolphins. Got to win this game. But, of course, they're starting Skylar Thompson. I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket, though. So it's not looking too good for the Dolphins.
No, it certainly is not.
Buccaneers versus Falcons. Game doesn't really matter. Bucks are already locked in.
Five starters are injured for that game. Hopefully they rest up. Conversation is that Ryan Jensen will be ready for game one of the playoffs. And I honestly hope we get the Eagles.
The Eagles, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Over the Colts?
Colts? How we play the Colts?
I mean the Cowboys, excuse me.
The Baltimore Colts back in the day.
Sorry, the Cowboys.
Okay. Well, yeah. Colts, Cowboys, gotcha. Yeah. Okay,
I get a little flip-flop from time to time.
Well, we do have the Cowboys' number. There's no shot.
Tom Brady's never lost to them either.
Okay.
So I think that's a good
thing. I take
team.
That back. I don't think Hurts is going to be healthy.
No, but, I think you're right. I think that the Minshew mania has come to an end. He's not getting the job done.
Minshew mania. Then I love that cat.
Yeah, he's. I like him. He's got. He's,
he kind of befitted his college coach, Mike Lynch. I mean, he loved Mike Lynch, and who didn't? Mm-hmm. Mike Lynch got his career started in 1989 in the great state of Iowa at Iowa Wesleyan. Wow. He and see, I got all this. When you're old, you got all this old data up here. I can't remember you guys' names right now, but I can tell you that Hal Mumme and he and Hal Mumme was at Kentucky, and they started the spread offense.
Next, we have the Panthers versus Saints. Rumors spreading that Jim Harbaugh might be coming to the Panthers. So that's a team out there.
Well, we do now have Michigan blood in our world, so we'll have to get Bruce Eichner make some phone calls up north and get some inside scoop on that. I don't see that happening.
Really? Well,
Walmart khakis is staying in Ann Arbor.
Close sources are saying that's his number one preferred team is the Panthers currently. So,
well, but recently that's been a kiss of death.
Yeah. But next we have Texans versus Colts. Texans have been showing some life late here in the season. I think they might pull out a W there. 49ers versus Cardinals. 49ers, of course, probably going to get a win there. Cowboys versus Commanders. I think the Commanders need to win in order for the Lions to have a chance.
That's a convoluted formula for them.
I am rooting for the Lions. I will say that.
Your mic is muted. I'm a Packer fan, and we need to see Rodgers go. No, you know what? I know,
there
and
we
I
go.
I had dinner with three Lions fans, and I will say this: I love the passion of their head coach. What's his name? Escapes me.
Campbell.
He's my kind of guy. He's fiery, you know. He'll headbutt his guys. You name it, he'll do it.
I will say it's a little unfair for them, I think, because they're at least the Lions versus Packers game, because the Seahawks game comes before that, and if the Seahawks win,
maybe we should change that kick too.
Well, I kind of was hoping that
a neutral site.
The NFL should have scheduled the two games for the same time, because they're doing all this flex scheduling and stuff. Have the two at the same time. It'd be really exciting to see
that. That would
teams
be riveting.
Fight.
There's no doubt about it.
So, and then Giants versus Eagles, of course, is, last game on the docket covered the Lions versus Packers. So,
and you know what? And I've never been a Giants fan, but it's great to see. I love their coach, too. He finally needed his break. And I never thought Daniel Jones got the respect he deserved. He's proven that he's the real deal. And then I also love like Shaquan Barkley, the Penn State kid.
Well, did you see this, Mike? That Al Michaels eats a full dinner at halftime in between the game.
Has for years.
Yeah, it was always a rumor, but they confirmed it on Part of My Take, one of the most popular podcasts out there. He gets a full knife and fork, full dinner, steak, you know, everything. Not just like some cheese or like something easy to kind of throw in there. He sits down there and grubs.
And I thought that was interesting. They even brought it up the other night on the Prime broadcast. All right, so well, those are the games, and down here we got 105 televisions. If there's a game you want to watch at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, just let us know. We'll find a little spot for you and your cronies. Maybe not Detroit Lions fans, but we have
one pride, Mike. One pride.
We have we put the Philadelphia Eagles fans upstairs. They don't play well with people, so they're upstairs. But we have great watch parties, of course. The Bills Mafia is how we got this corner. It's a scary place on Sundays, but it's a lot of fun. Come on down starting today. And then Monday night, national championship, Georgia and TCU. So there'll be a big party. Madman Mac will be on the mic. We'll have a lot of fun. I'll be down here giving away some body armor, some swag, and we'll have some fun down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Right across from the Trop as we celebrate 30 years of serving Tampa Bay. Now, one of my favorite segments, I finally get some athletes and a coach down here. Got a couple of whiz kids as well. And it's our Triton time. Each and every month, we try to get a couple of teams. Just had Coach Bill Butner on, the golf coach. He was live from St. Pete Country Club. They got a 97th Invitational.
Oh, man.
And he's retiring from
well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved. Great guy.
Time here. He's been here since 2003, I believe, and he's done a real nice job with our golf program.
Well, you've done a real nice job with the baseball team. Welcome back. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know what? I normally don't go anywhere without my own swag, but I thought you were the first guy that brought me this cool gear.
Yeah.
And then Tom Ryan, he upped his game, the AD, and he got me some swag as well.
You got to stop by again. He'll hook you up with some new stuff.
Exactly. I heard you guys got some Nike gear that's really, really sweet.
Yeah, we just try to get all Jumpman stuff now. It's all what the kids want.
Bruce Eichner, thanks, man. All right. He's a new radio guy I just ran into, and he's going to be part of our world.
Nice.
He's out there selling some advertising for us. Anyway, that's live radio. Now, I like you guys' gear. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I know the Jumpman stuff's popular for all the kids.
Yeah,
I know, sure.
If you get Jumpman, we're doing all right.
We were always jealous at Savannah State. All the basketball players got the Jumpman stuff, and we still had the Russell hand-me-downs. So
it kind of depends on the year and what you're ordering that year, whether you can, you know, kind of stretch the budget a little bit and get some Jumpman stuff. But if we can get it, we're getting it for sure.
Okay, so I'm an old man. Jumpman.
Jordan Brand.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Mike.
You guys are really raising the bar.
Get you dripped out here.
Yeah.
I'm by the office. We'll hook you up.
Okay. I'll be there. I told Amanda I'm coming over, and she better start digging in the coffers. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the 2022-2023 season.
Yeah.
Man, time flies.
Yeah, man. It's an exciting year. We have a really challenging schedule, probably one of the toughest schedules in Division II. So that's really exciting to look forward to. I like challenging the guys and putting them up against good competition. We got great competition in the conference, so they're always a great test. Then our out-of-conference schedule is really top-notch as well. So, you know, our guys are up for a big test this year. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you got balance as far as senior leadership and young guys?
We're pretty junior, senior heavy right now. We got a ton of juniors. I think we got like 17 juniors. So we got a lot in the upper class that should be carrying our guys, you know, and then we got a good leadership group in our seniors. So, you know, and then the younger guys got to develop and be ready to play if their opportunity arises.
Well, I know at one time, Ben, you were looking at Eckert.
I was looking at
Eckert. Do you want to share that story with the coach?
Yeah, I don't know who I was in contact with, but Eckert was coming to see me play on senior night at Seminole High School, and I set a record for the state of Florida. I know Pinellas County for sure, but most hit by pitch thrown in a game, not just the inning, but in a game as well. So I definitely
impressive debut for
yes it was. I was really excited, you know, getting my first college to take a look at me, and they promptly left. So yeah, but it was still you know, a good year, but still love Eckert. Great campus.
Yeah, beautiful campus.
He was a submariner.
Yeah,
I love that. Love those guys.
Well, see, yeah. How many did you hit?
I know it was double digits. It was double digits.
Anybody that stood in on the right side.
Well, yeah. See, the issue was, and I came up to meet the coach of the.
Here comes the excuse.
All right, well, here, hold on. So I went to the All-Star game that year, and the head coach was the coach of the team that I hit all the batters for, and I had been complaining to the umpire because they were not in the batter's box when I was hitting them. They were literally on top of the plate, and my conversation with the umpire is, they can't do it. They have to be in the batter's box. And I was talking to the head coach, and he was laughing at me. And he told me, yeah, I just told all my players, stand outside of the box, over the plate, and take your base. Umpire had no clue what the rules were. That's supposed to be a strike. If they get hit out or over the plate,
yeah,
that's a strike. Umpire didn't seem to understand that, and that's why I was allowed to stay in the game for so long as well. My head coach was also on my side with that the players were not in the box, but you
no ejections.
You think this
no
is,
ejections. No,
you think this is just an excuse?
Nah.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. All right. So let's go back and talk
we're
about
not
your
bunch.
Team. Who are the leaders this year that you're looking forward to
well,
seeing them?
We certainly pulled the wild card on you today because we had Joe Muzio on the docket, but we were finishing up an inter squad and he was about to hit, so I didn't want to take him out of there. So we brought Brendan Lowry here. One of our starters.
Well, Brendan, I didn't mean to call you Joe then.
No worries.
Thanks for coming down today, man.
Thank you for having me.
We've got a couple senior starting pitchers that Brendan and Jake Stipp that have started every game for us last year, so we're expecting them to come back and have a good year. And then we got a lot of guys returning. And then we brought in some new pieces, a couple arms, transfer arms, that we think are going to be really helpful and get us to where we want to be. So it's an exciting group. They work hard. You know, and now we just got to put them to the test.
So I got to ask you this, Coach. In Division II, is this this LIV or this portal process impacted you by
yeah,
any way?
The transfer portal is just it's another avenue to recruit. I mean, you know, a lot of guys relied on relationships, which was, you know, the people who develop really good relationships for those kickback guys. They would get the early leads on them and have a better chance of getting them, and now everybody has access to them. So I think there's some level of that, but they can also transfer D1 to D1 now. So kind of leveled the playing field at the Division II level, because not as many are going to go from one to two so they can play that year if they can transfer within division. So, you know, it's a nice way to go, try to at least reach out and contact some really good players from some really good schools.
But your conference is across the country better than a lot of the Division I conferences from a baseball perspective.
The conference, top to bottom, is really good. That's what sets us, I think, apart, is that we're not top heavy. You know, we give credit to the teams that have been historically really good, but every team in the conference, you know, is really trying to compete to win a national championship. And, you know, it's really tough every weekend. I compare it to my guys all the time. Like, you know, it's not a fair comparison, but SEC football, where every week you got a good competitor coming at you, and there's no gimme games. There's no, okay, we're going to beat this team. You know, if you don't play well, you're not going to win, for sure.
Yeah, like the conference I was in, I played for Savannah State when we were in the MEAC, the MEAC, and that's a mid-major conference. Definitely nowhere near the caliber of your guys' conference with Tampa and, of course, Eckerd in it. You guys play at a Division I level, for sure. It's not like a FAMU or a Bethune-Cookman where, you know, from time to time they're not very competitive.
Yeah, I mean, all the teams in the conference do a really nice job. We got great coaches, great athletes in the conference, and that's really why most of us want to be here. You know, if you want to challenge yourself to be one of the better players, you know, you got to come to a conference in a school and be able to compete against the best, you know, week in and week out. That's really what it's all about, is the competition.
Let's talk a little bit about the conference this year. How's it stack up for you guys making a run at it? Where do you sit?
Where do we sit? I don't know. We still gotta get out there and play. You know, I think that always, you know, an easy pick is Tampa. They've done an excellent job. They're a perennial regional team. Florida Southern had a really good year last year. St. Leo had a really good year last year. But every year is totally different, you know. Like I tell our guys all the time, I don't know who's going to have this spectacular year this year. You know, sometimes you can pick it, sometimes you can't.
But that's the beauty of sport, right?
Yeah. So, you know, some teams could suffer some injuries that set them back. You know, that's always one of my big goals, is to be as injury free as possible, because then you don't have to go around telling everybody, well, we lost our number one, we lost our number two, we didn't, our three hole hitter was gone half the year. It's like, hey, we went out and competed, and this is what we got to show for it. So
it's been almost a year since we had you on the air, and now we've expanded. We're on nine stations. Why don't we go back and get your bio, where you're from, how you got to this position at baseball, heading up the Triton program.
So originally born and raised in Swansea, New Hampshire, so pretty far from here. Came down to Eckerd, played at Eckerd, graduated from Eckerd in 2003, then signed with the Oakland Athletics, played with the Worcester Tornadoes after that, and then came back to Eckerd and been involved, and then I'm going into, I believe, year seven as the head baseball coach. So coaching at my alma mater, which was always my goal once I played here. Small town kid, Eckerd offered me a wonderful opportunity.
Away from the winters.
Yeah, I don't like the snow. But to get an education and to be, you know, a student athlete, and then give myself a great opportunity to play at the next level. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to do that. So, you know, that was a great treat for me personally. And I got to travel the country and the world playing baseball. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, and it's amazing the theme over there. How many coaches actually played at Eckerd, and now they're coaching their alma mater, and it starts at the top with Coach Ryan. I still call him Coach.
So don't I.
Athletic director, and of course, good friend of ours down here. You know, he was a player, coach, and now he's the athletic director at Eckerd, and I love that consistency, that family feel.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Tom Ryan is an excellent leader for our group, and a phenomenal human being. His touch and reach out here in the St. Petersburg community is pretty far-reaching. If you need anything done, you go to Tom for sure, because he knows.
I figured that out.
Yeah, you go to
between
him.
Tom and Ferg, and those two are joined at the hip.
Yeah, you can get anything done.
Yeah,
you just go in. Hey, I need this. I need that. I know a guy.
Let me make a phone call. Yeah, you think you're talking to the Saint Pete mob when you're talking to these guys? I know a guy. Yeah, he can get this guy and that guy.
But I think his biggest attribute is always giving of his time. He's always looking out for the student athletes. He's going out there helping them out in the community. He's always out and about, you know, supporting Eckerd and putting us out in the forefront. you know, he does a phenomenal job with our athletic department.
Sure. All right, well, let's talk about this young man that you forced to come down on a Saturday. Yeah. Did you guys have practice today?
Yeah, they should be finishing up right now.
So you got out of practice?
Yeah, got my two innings in. That's all about I can do. I'm done. I'm not a hitter anymore. So.
All right, Brendan. So you're left hand or right hand?
I'm a left hander.
Yo, coach loves those left handers.
We do.
Everybody loves left handers. Where are you from, man?
I'm from right outside Chicago. I grew up in LaGrange.
I'm from Iowa. I know LaGrange well. My daughter lives in Chicago, and I used to work for the Cubs organization back in the day. And big Chicago fan, Cubs fan, not Bears. No. Bulls fan. So you made a great move. In fact, Nicole on the basketball team, you know her? She's from the Chicago area. She's one of my interns now. And you both made great moves leaving the Windy City this time of year, young man.
No, we just got back from winter break. It was about negative 40 there for like 3 days. Ooh. And I was ready to come back. So
how'd you find Eckerd? Where they find you?
So I'm a JUCO guy. So I went to Waubonsie Community College in Aurora, Illinois for 2 years.
Okay.
And a player who was a year older than me ended up coming to Eckerd, and that relationship helped me get down here.
So I bet your family was excited about that because they get to come down and visit you into this warmth, huh?
No, my dad definitely loves coming down here. He likes fishing and all that stuff, so.
Well, I guarantee there weren't any other colleges out there that could say they had a beach on campus.
For sure.
That's a pretty good selling point, isn't it, Coach?
It is, yeah. When you do the campus tours, it's nice to walk out to the beach and, you know, let people see what we experience every day, for sure.
Exactly. What's your favorite memory so far at Eckerd?
I really like being around the guys in the locker room and stuff like that, around the dorms and stuff. I mean, obviously we make great memories on the field, but I think making friendships and bonds with the guys is really what.
What are you majoring in?
I'm a political science major.
You're going to be an attorney one day?
We'll see. I mean.
Well, I asked that. My daughter, she went to DePaul, and then she ended up going to Northwestern, and she's a legal beagle now for Northwestern. But that was what her major was, because I kept saying, please tell me you're not going to be a politician.
Yeah.
And she's far from that. So, but that's a great career and a lot of potential with it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What are you looking forward to this year? Besides a lot of W's.
Yeah. Really. Just,
are you a starter or reliever?
I'm a starter.
Okay.
So I'm really just looking forward to giving the opportunity to win on every Saturday or Friday. Who knows? Whenever I pitch, just want to give the guys the opportunity to win.
Now, and I have a question. What's the high number that you've ever hit in a game?
Pitch count or miles per hour?
Yeah. Oh no. Batters. I want to see how outrageous his number was.
I don't know. Maybe four. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that seems high. That is high, right?
Probably in high school at some point when I really wasn't pitching all that much.
See, I do have to ask, though. I know a lot of fun things happen in the bullpen, and we would always do crazy stuff at Savannah State. What kind of stuff have you done to kind of, you know, get under this guy's skin?
Maybe he doesn't want to tell that in front of Coach.
For me, I'm more of like a yeller type person in the dugout. So like, if I'm not pitching, you'll probably hear me yelling something.
Well, Coach likes that. You like encouraging guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want the silent figure.
It's never one of my favorite things, but I like being encouraging for sure.
What year are you? Senior?
I'm a senior.
So one of your senior leaders, and you got a stable full of arms. That you're looking for.
I want to be like Kevin Cash, you know what I mean, and going out there and saying we got a stable full of arms that we can attack everybody. We got a good group, you know, we got a good starting core, and we got some good guys out of the bullpen. I think we're going to be very competitive on the bump for sure.
Well, talk about competitive. Who are these two young men? I know your sons.
These men are my boys. They get to travel around with me and come to practice and see how the big boys do it, but they're on the – we play for the Kangaroo Court.
I wondered what the hat was. Let me see your logo there. That's really cool. Kangaroo Court.
Yep. At Oldsmar, Colton's on the 10U. Then Connor, 10U American. Connor's on the 12U American team. And they enjoy that a lot. They keep us busy, that's for sure.
Not as much as Pops enjoys watching them.
That's it. I wish I get to watch them more. We're about to hit the crazy part of life where we play every Saturday and they play every Saturday and Sunday. So
well,
the baseball field for a little.
Well, I know that they that they love hanging around the big guys as well, and they learn a lot from them as well.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's just spending time with them. That's what I look forward to the most. And getting them around the guys is always fun, too. But, you know, just spending time with my kids, because our profession can take you away from them a lot more than you'd like it to, just like anybody else. And if you can get some quality time with them in a car ride or just hanging out at the field, that's good stuff.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking time to come down, bring the fellas, bring your bodyguards. Brent, good luck this year. We'll be following your career. Thank you, Coach, for the swag. You better get a picture of this with all of us with our Eckert swag. Why don't we, we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to talk to my new great friend who's preparing for his, it's not his debut, it's his return to Katiki. And let's talk to Tom Gribben is on the line. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
Superb. You know, you've been doing this so long, I don't think you probably are getting the butterflies, but you're going to have a heck of a crowd down at Katiki tonight, my man.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful night. You know, just listening to the coach, it kind of reminds me, you know, the a band is like a team, you know, and the things you remember most, you know, are, you know, I suppose like the locker room, the guys getting together and rehearsing and hanging out together, other than just the show. So as I was listening to him talk, I was thinking my own week this week when we were rehearsing, we spent most of the time just recalling the old days on tour.
Oh, guys on tour. Well, I'm looking forward to that. But what I'm really looking forward to and what we're going to have a conversation about is on January 21st over at the Parthenon.
At the Palladium.
Parthenon is in Nashville. But anyway, you're going to have this comedy event. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a major comedy show. Caroline Ray from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Spaceballs. She's appearing with Eddie Brill, who's an old friend of mine, who is David Letterman's sidekick for years on the show, all the way till the end. And for 15 of those years, he booked all the comics on the show. And also Nick Griffin, who's a comedian, has been on Late Night probably 15, 16 times. So it's called The Comics of Late Night TV. It's a really strong comedy show at the Palladium. January 21st, it's Saturday night, 8 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know you're going to be there, Mike.
I'm looking forward to it. How do people get tickets there, Tom?
Just go online at mypalladium.org, or you can call up the Palladium box office, or you can go down there and in person and pick them up. But usually the tickets right now are being sold online. It's $38. There's a VIP package for $75, and they have, you know, special seating, and they're going to meet the comedians and that sort of thing. They have a private bar, but it's a great show. Any seat in there is good, and a $38 ticket is good as anything.
That's a great price.
It's a real bargain for this show. Yeah, for this show, it's a great price.
You're a sports fan. I want your prediction on Monday night, the college national championship. You like Georgia, or do you like the Horned Frogs of Texas Christian?
Well, is the Horned Frogs the quarterback going to be playing?
Yeah, the kid from Iowa, tough kid. He's a river rat. He's a blue collar kid. Council Bluffs.
Well, I heard he's injured. He got injured in the other game. In which case, Georgia's going to blow him out. But if he's, you know, if he's going to play, I'm going to root for him.
I think everybody in America is rooting for that kid. He's just one of those blue-collar kids you like to get behind. Nobody anticipates. Actually, TCU, it's a little factoid, was not even ranked in the top 25 at the beginning of the season. Not ranked.
No. No, I know.
So it's been a great story. Everybody likes to get behind them. Well, I'm looking forward to tonight down at Katiki. We'll have a blast. And then one more time, how do people get tickets to your great comedy event?
To the comedy show, the Comics of Late Night TV at mypalladium.org. Or you can call the box office.
Mypalladium.org. He's Tom Gribben, and another a plug for your book as well.
Great. Yeah, The Last Florida Boy. It's all about these times back in the 80s. And after the show tonight down at the Katiki, I know a guy who lives down there across the street. It's going to be a big after party at his house.
yeah, big after party. I can accommodate the first 12 VIPs that get on my deck. All right, my man. I'll see you tonight.
All right.
Have a lot of fun.
Bye-bye.
He's Tom Gribben, and as I like to say, he's St. Pete's most interesting man. Why don't we take a break right now, a little earlier break than we anticipated, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Mark Lindsay. We'll talk about Pele and World Cup 2022. We'll take a break here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Rolling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, sitting across from Ben Botham. Of course, we're brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery and Ice Pick Vodka. Our good friends at Shrimpy's Waterfront. John, my little buddy, he's excited about Georgia and TCU on Monday night. You love that place.
Oh, yeah. Love going there. Great breakfast and great deals on all the drinks and stuff. No better place to be watching the Georgia game, especially him being a Georgia native himself.
Well, unless you're down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And that's how I met this gentleman, through Barry Smith. And he has been down before to share his wisdom in the world of soccer. He's Mark Lindsay. And I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, my friend, to join us to talk a little bit about Pele. And then we'll get your opinion on Argentina and their World Cup 2022 title. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Mike, doing very well. Thanks. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. And you know, I've been following my Tottenham team after I saw that we have a common alliance there. But let's talk about. It's been over a year since you've been down here. Now we're on nine stations. So let's share your background a little bit before we dive into the Pele story.
Okay. So you can probably gather from my accent that I was born and raised in London, England, and I played for a team in London called Crystal Palace. They play in the Premier League. Unfortunately, today they got knocked out of the FA Cup by Southampton, but one of those things. But I came over to America, to Tampa, when I was 20. I was the second youngest player on the team, apart from Mike Connell, good friend of mine. And we were fortunate enough to win the North American Soccer League in 1975. And after going back to England, I kind of had a little bit of a heart-to-heart with myself and said, right, that's it, I want to come to America permanently. So in 1976, I came to Tampa Bay Rowdies permanently and played for another couple of seasons, bounced around the country, and then wound up back with the Rowdies again back in 1984, which unfortunately was the year that the North American Soccer League folded. So I had 10 good years playing in the North American Soccer League. I love every minute of living in America. I became a citizen in 1984 and got a couple of children, been married for almost 50 years and loving life.
A woman's put up with you for almost 50 years?
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing.
So you so you got over here to America. Now the Rowdies, what year did they have a resurgence? When did they reinvent the Rowdies then?
Well, yeah, the Rowdies really didn't go away. When the North American Soccer League folded, I actually retired then at the age of the ripe old age of 29, and so basically, along came a couple of other leagues, and then it ended up, being where we're at the moment with our current Tampa Bay Rowdies, with new ownership and everything. So there has been some pretty dramatic changes over the years, but the great thing about it is when you go out and watch them, they wear the same uniform that we wore, so it's kind of interesting, and it almost seems like nothing's changed that much over the years.
Well, I know you watch the great game that you have such a passion for, and unfortunately, the world lost an icon this past week. Talk about your opportunity at a young age to meet Pelé, the great Pelé.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing, really, Mike. The older I get, the more important it is to me. But I mean, I remember when I was just 7 and 8 years of age, shouting out Pelé, after kicking a ball in the back of the net someplace in the backyard or whatever. And then when I came to America, and as I said before, we actually made it to the Cup Final in San Jose, California. We played against the Portland Timbers. And just a few days before that game, Pelé signed with the New York Cosmos to come over and start playing in 1976. So just before, the night before the game, he came to our banquet, and I had the great pleasure of shaking his hand and meeting him for the first time, and I just couldn't believe it. I picked the phone up and I called my dad in England, and he thought, I said, well, that's great, son, but what time it is, right? So I said, well, sorry, Dad, what time is it? He said, well, in England, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm fast asleep, so call me later. So that was my first Pelé experience, but he came along and he watched the game, which fortunately we won 2-0, and that was the first time that a professional Tampa team won anything. So we've always been very proud to basically have that as the first professional team to win a tournament. Since that time, I had the good fortune of playing against him about half a dozen times or so. And he was always willing to talk to people, always came over and said, hey, how you doing? And just an incredible ambassador to the sport. I mean, just the absolute best player of any player in terms of on and off the field. He was fantastic, an absolutely fantastic person.
Well, get an opportunity to play against him, probably comparable to a lot of these young kids today that play against a Tom Brady or a LeBron James, and you're in awe as you're competing against them. That's kind of got to be a little surreal for you.
Well, basically, the first thing that comes to mind is whatever you do, don't look like the idiot and give the thing away. So it's a very defensive-minded attitude. When you defend against a great icon like him, You just want to make sure that, you know, he basically just laterals the ball. In other words, he doesn't come at you and try and take you on, make you look like an idiot. You're just trying to, you know, just contain him, make sure that all the players get back behind the ball, and just make it difficult, as difficult as you possibly can. Which, you know, when you play against, you know, the GOATs, that's really all you can do. You know, ultimately, they're going to find a way to beat you. So you just got to try and stay on your toes, be alert, don't get sucked into moments, and hopefully at the end of the game you walk off and you feel like you've done a good job. So the very first time I played against him was at Tampa Stadium, in the old Sombrero in 1976, and we beat them 4-0 actually, and a couple of great players, not just Pelé, but also Franz Beckenbauer played, and several other really, really good great global soccer players played on that team. So it was quite a feat, actually, Mike, to not only play against him, but also to beat them as well that year.
Hey, so I'm this is Ben Botham, by the way. I had a question. So I'm not a big soccer guy, and I know at least for baseball, people always talk about the greats, and they kind of discount them based on the era that they played in. From my friends who do watch soccer, they always talk about how great Ronaldo is or Messi. Are these guys on the same caliber as Pelé?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that, you know, one has to look at it and sort of say, look, you know, overall, you know, what has happened to these sports, you know? Number one, I think it's pretty clear that including like NFL and all the sports, the athletes are much, much better athletes than they were, let's say, 50 years ago. I remember, you know, some of the great golf players, as an example, you know, they'd go and play golf on a Saturday and play cards until 4 o'clock Sunday morning, then go back out there again and play golf again on Sunday, first thing in the morning, after about 2 or 3 hours of sleep. That doesn't happen anymore in sports. You know, we all know that, you know, so these players now are great athletes. You know, they eat all the right stuff. They're controlled. They're monitored. You know, they're almost like robots in a way, and as a result, I think that the game itself has changed. So, if you take a Pelé and put him in today's environment, I've got to be honest and say that I don't think he would be as effective as maybe he was back in his day. So that would be more of a testament to the current players like Ronaldo, Messi, and these types of players. It's very, very difficult to take a player from 50 years ago and try and see what he would be like in today's environment. I'm sure he would still be scoring lots and lots of goals, but, you know, 1,300, maybe, maybe not.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right across from Tropicana Field, where they've been serving Tampa Bay for 30 years. And we're blessed to have Mark Lindsay, former professional soccer player. And now he's a constant in the world of soccer here in Tampa Bay. So I'd like to get your perspective, Mark Lindsay, on looking back at World Cup 2022. I know the energy in America was at an all-time high, and even down here at Ferg's, we had an absolute blast. Whether you were a soccer fan or not, we all love the red, white, and blue, and Argentina and France on that Sunday. This place was packed. Give us your analysis of the 2022 World Cup.
Well, I mean, overall, Mike, I think that the going back to the parity, you know, in this sport and lots of other sports, you know, players are getting stronger, faster, fitter. The one really, really cool thing that I enjoyed about this World Cup was how many upsets there were. And, you know, and it's a great testament to the sport on a global basis. You know, when you think that Saudi Arabia can beat Argentina, and then Argentina goes on to win the World Cup. I mean, Senegal beats France 1-0. You know, it's just an amazing sport when you think about it. At any given time, any team could beat any other team. And it's true, and I think it's great for this sport. You know, there's only been 8 teams or 8 countries that have won the World Cup over the years. And I think that that's going to change soon. I think that some of these North African teams are becoming much, much better than they used to be. You know, back in my country, England, the Premier League, I was basically I was the first black player to play for Crystal Palace, by the way, back in the early 1970s. You know, now it's like spot the white guy. I mean, what happened to all the white players in soccer? It's really weird. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, the best players need to be playing. And it's just that simple. You know, people pay to come in and watch games, and they want to see the best athletes play the best they possibly can. And the good thing about professional soccer is that, you know, you can get a South African kid that can come up. You can get a kid from Morocco that can come across, and then another kid from Australia, and you put them all together, and they can be a really, really good team. And that's what this sport has evolved to. I mean, it's just the best players from around the world.
Well, I'm certain that you've enjoyed sitting back and watching the growth as it was predicted that would take place in America, and a pioneer like you that came over from England, and then, of course, established residency. There's quite a few gentlemen that have done that. It probably just puts a nice smile on your face to see the success of football, as they say, on the worldwide stage and here in America now.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, just the volume of people in this country, you know, you've got 330 million people that are gravitating to this sport. You know, I mean, there's no question in my mind, absolutely no question in my mind, that the United States will eventually win the World Cup. And they, you know, we've just got fantastic young talent coming through. I think we're going to keep on improving. And, It's a little bit of a crapshoot sometimes, because, you know, you've got to have the right players fit at the right time. And, you know, if that happens, I think that sometime in the next two or three World Cups, I think we could be knocking on the door for winning the World Cup, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope they hurry up, and I'm still around to see it. Well, Mark Lindsay, I always enjoy having a conversation with you. You're welcome to come down any Saturday. Have a cold day, have a pint, and wear your Tottenham gear. I'll wear my Tottenham hat, and we'll have some fun. How's that sound?
Hey, Mike, that sounds great, and it's always a pleasure speaking to you and the gang. And it's a great show, and we'll speak to you soon.
All right. The great Mark Lindsay, one of the original Tampa Bay Rowdies, gentlemen. And Ray, we only got a minute. You say you were at that game?
Yeah, back in 75, I think it was 76. But yeah, it was a rainy day at the Big Sombrero, and it was against the Cosmos were in town against the Rowdies, and it was just one of those things.
So you went and saw you went?
Oh, yeah, actually at that game to see. And I want to say actually, Pele did do a bicycle kick in that game, but it wasn't as successful. But that was the big thing back then. It was like this.
That's very cool.
Kick. Yeah. So
yeah, people will be saying that about Brady. I actually saw him throw for 400 yards in 2023. In the Super Bowl.
There you go.
That's my prediction.
Amazing. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, man. I mean, we've got all the bad games this season behind us. You know, let's just wrap up the season and then start taking down some of the big guys.
Mark, do you remember that game? It was a rainy day. I remember that Pele had the bicycle kick on, is going toward the south goal. But you used to get a lot of rain back then when you were playing with the Rowdies. Did you guys enjoy those rainy summer days when you were playing, or was it a problem, or was it the stuff you were used to?
Well, when you're 20 years old, you know, it's doable, you know. I mean, I remember the first time I played against Pelé, they were still building the end zones at the Sombrero. It was like 22,000 people on each side of the stadium, and the end zones weren't even built at that time. So you could see cars going up and down Dal Mabry when you were on the field playing. Now, the problem was that the game was at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey, Mark, I hate to interrupt you, but we're at the top of the hour, my friend. We'll get you back on and we'll share some more stories, all right?
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.